This is the Music Business Dreams Podcast, the show where we talk to artists, managers, and all sorts of industry professionals and figure out how they made their music business dreams come true and how you can do the same. I'm your host, Brandon Jackson. Let's start the show. Yo, what's up, guys? It's Brandon from KDMR Music, and I want to thank you guys for tuning in to episode 2 of the Music Business Dreams Podcast. Now, for today's episode, I actually spoke with Sarah the Illstrumentalist, and you may know her from YouTube, but she's a beat maker. She runs a brand called No Quantize, and overall, she's just a really cool person. So we talked about, you know, how she's using YouTube to build her audience, to grow her following, and even to land brand partnerships and sponsorships for her YouTube channel. Now, before I get into the conversation with Sarah, I just want to thank you guys for tuning in to episode 1 of the show. I'm so excited to report we made it up to number 68 on the iTunes Top 200 Music Podcasts. And that was just episode 1. So I want to thank you guys all for your support, for listening, for everyone who left ratings and reviews. Thank you. If you guys enjoyed the podcast, if you enjoy the show, you want to help us out, the best way to do that is to leave a rating or a review if you're on Apple Podcasts and anywhere you're listening. If you're on YouTube, leave a comment in the comment section. Just let us know if you're rocking with the show, what you like to see, any guests you want us to have, whatever. I'm open to all of it. So with all of that out of the way, again, I want to get into our conversation with Sarah the Illstrumentalist. And so let's start the show. All right, guys, today on the podcast, we have Sarah the Illstrumentalist. So for those of you who don't know about Sarah, I discovered her on YouTube about a year or so ago. And since then, she's been making pretty big moves. She's been performing around the Raleigh area and beyond. She's been, you might have seen her on Native Instruments blog, but I'll let her tell you about it. Here is Sarah the Illstrumentalist.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me and taking the time just to speak with me today.
Oh, no problem. No problem. So I wanted you to introduce yourself for those who may not know you.
Awesome. Well, my name is Sarah the Illstrumentalist. And I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina. And I'm a beat maker, YouTuber, content creator, and I guess you can say entrepreneur. I just do a lot of different things. I create beats. I make videos. I have my own business and a beat making brand called No Quantize. You can check it out at noquantize.com. My YouTube channel is youtube.com/Sarah2Ill. And I just came out with a new beat tape called Conversations. It's out everywhere on iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, everywhere you can check it out. But I just love to just create and not limit myself to anything. So that's who I am.
Wow. So it sounds like you have been pretty busy as of late.
Well, yeah, always busy. I try to keep myself busy.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So how'd you get started in music?
Well, music has always been a part of me. I've basically, I guess you could say I'm the only child. When I was growing up, I had a lot of extra time to myself. So I spent a lot of time listening to music and then trying to understand how to make the music. So eventually I started to learn how to just make songs. So I would eventually, for me, it started off with the piano. My uncle, he used to play the piano with my cousins. They used to sing in the choir at church. And I used to try to just learn songs from him. He taught me how to play the piano, and then eventually in school I learned the recorder, other small instruments, and then went up to like the flute in sixth grade and then the snare drum, and then eventually I decided to teach myself how to play the guitar and bass and like the full drum set, and then eventually like getting into like the actual choir at church and being like the bass player, and then being like the bass player in a jazz band in college. And first started off doing like music industry studies in college and at North Carolina Central University, but I noticed that I wanted to kind of get something a little bit more in the field physically, so I wanted to locate to New York City. So I went to St. John's University for college and interned at a lot of music and entertainment industry companies just to get experience. Because ultimately, my goal since I was younger was to open my own record label, like Motown Records. So I wanted to get that experience. So I wanted to go to school in New York City and intern at a bunch of places. So I then, you know, got to intern at like UG Strategies is a marketing company. They're doing MoogFest now, which is pretty cool. And I worked for MTV, VH1. I worked for a recording studio for almost 2 years called Platinum Sound Recording Studio. And then eventually I opened my own record label while I was in college. So it was called Cum Laude Records. And just decided to start making my own music videos and recording music. And at the time, I actually was rapping. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And it took me a long time to kind of like figure out what I wanted to do musically. Like I had an idea of like I wanted to be in the music industry, but I didn't know specifically what I wanted to do up until recently, like the past maybe 2 or 3 years. I can say that I'm a producer now. I make music and I create content. So there was a point where I really didn't know what I was doing, and I finally found my place with music. So that's pretty much my background with music.
Nice. So when you were making the decision, you know, whether you were going to be an artist in the more traditional sense or be a producer, what kind of swayed you toward the producer side?
I would say not necessarily. I think it for me, it just, a lot of people are afraid to say that they are a producer, like to say and own it. So I remember like being able to actually say that I'm a producer, but I'm much more than that. I can say that, you know, I'm a business owner. I'm a video director. I'm an editor. I'm a strategist. I'm an analyst. I'm a, you know, multiple things. So I just had to kind of like be honest with myself and be open with and being kind of just owning those titles and just saying it, because some people are afraid to just say it. So producer, it's just one thing I do. Ultimately, I'm trying to be like, I guess, like Berry Gordy. You know, Berry Gordy, the owner of Motown Records. Mm-hmm. And he was an entrepreneur. He was also a music producer. He's a writer. You know, he's, I'm pretty sure if you ask him to sing, he probably could sing, but he doesn't want to sing. He probably has a vision for other people, but he also knows how to run a business in the background, also knows how to write the songs, you know, maybe run a bass line. And so just that's kind of where I get my, I guess, influence from. It's just mainly from Berry Gordy or from other entrepreneurs that don't just do one thing. They actually get their hands dirty. So I guess that's where that comes from.
Okay. So you just like to create and you just kind of want parts of everything that comes with that. But...
Right. I want to create. I also want to help others create. I want to also influence others. So that's just like my purpose. And I can honestly say that's just pretty simple. A lot of people struggle with like, what's my purpose in life? And, you know, my purpose is, and I think for everyone's purpose is to create. Like, we're not made to work a 9-to-5 and like just do things for other people. We're made to produce and create things, you know, to invent. And for me, like, I try to balance both things. I have to work, I need to have bills, everything's monetized, so I have to, you know, work. But on my spare time, when I have time, I'm in a creative mode, and I like to make stuff where, you know, wherever that inspiration comes from. So today, I may literally be creating a T-shirt design, and next day I may be making something else. Like, it literally depends on where that influence comes from, and I like to influence other people to not limit themselves. So, like, if you have an idea, do it. And I also want to help others. Like, I plan on, you know, building my record label to have other artists and producers and other creatives, photographers, everyone, just like a whole collective of people, and, you know, just help others. So
nice. That's dope. So how would you describe your sound?
I couldn't tell you. Well, a lot of people ask me, like, what kind of music do you make? And I just kind of go based off how I feel. Every day is different. You know, my feelings aren't the same. It's like asking someone, how do you feel in life? You know, right. Every day's different. You know, I may feel sad one day and I may feel really happy the next day, or I may feel chill the next day. So my music reflects kind of like that. But right now, you know, my recent projects have been sample vinyl-based music where I'll collect older music and kind of just flip it into something that's more relevant. But my sound is changing. You know, I don't plan to do the same thing. I plan on doing more instrumentals with no samples that are from vinyl, you know, or maybe one day I'll be singing and rapping again. You know, you never know what I may come up with. You know, so it just depends.
Nice. So you're always evolving.
Right. But I like to say, at least right now, it's just like a boom bap, lo-fi, dusty, like space music.
Okay.
So that's how I would describe it.
That's a cool description. So who are your musical influences right now?
Kay Trinata, Jay Dilla, Pharrell, Lena Fournier, a lot of people, and so many different influences that are not even like within the beat making scene. There's a lot of, I look up to Quincy Jones and like James Brown. James Brown, I think he's the biggest, like one of the best producers. Like he's the pretty much the godfather of hip hop. Like he did create. Like if we didn't have him, like we wouldn't have all the drum breaks and all the, you know, the awesome crazy and all these things that make hip hop, you know, and he didn't just create that, he created his own music. Like he kind of created two different generations of like music, which is crazy. Like who does that? Who influences, you know, two different sets of generations like that? So like James Brown is a huge influence, and Michael Jackson, of course. But a lot of different people. I guess those people that I just named are like the top tier of who I look up to.
Okay. Cool. So I want to talk for a second because, you know, the purpose of this podcast is shining a light on the different ways that an artist can get recognized, you know, in 2018. And then also just show people there's more than one way, you know, to skin the cat. There's a lot of different ways to be present in the music industry and to do what you love. And so something I thought was unique about you was I discovered you on YouTube, you know, and obviously the beats are kind of your main thing. But there's great production value in your videos, like you're a whole presence. And so I wanted to talk for a little bit about how you got started on YouTube and what YouTube has meant for your journey so far.
Well, basically, I started YouTube a long time ago before even what you see now. Like I had a YouTube channel for my dreadlocks because I would just document like my dreadlock journey, and then eventually my dreadlocks got long and there's nothing to talk about anymore. So I had a whole, some people actually commented like, hey, I think I recognize you from like these old videos. I'm like, yeah, I used to do that. And then it wasn't too much of a, I didn't know what I was doing. But I didn't know what I know now. If I would have known what I know now, I would have probably done things a little differently with that channel and like made it would have been like a bigger following. But when I had that channel, I had met several coworkers that were doing YouTube channels, and they were telling me how, you know, oh hey, I get, you know, every month I get a paycheck from YouTube. I'm like, what? YouTube sends you money? What? And I, you know, slept on it. And then I had one coworker that, I had a coworker that actually quit the job that I work at now because she's doing YouTube full time. And I'm like, what? Like, how do you get to do YouTube full time to pay all your bills? Like, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. So I actually didn't really think about it for a while. I wanted to do a YouTube channel, but there was just one thing that actually made it happen. So I usually, at work, they make us take these 15-minute breaks to relax. And for a long period of time, I would actually play video games. And there was a time where they actually took my video game away for like a good week. And I decided to just start bringing my computer and my beat machine to work just to kind of just make really quick beats. And there was a point where I would make beats outside of work, like in front of the, like in front of where I work, and people would walk up to me and ask me, "What are you doing?" And it was kind of annoying because I'm knee deep in like concentrating in the beat, but at that time kind of felt like it was an opportunity for me to turn that into a YouTube channel. So I decided to create my YouTube channel based off, you know, if people want to ask me what I'm doing, I can just say, "Hey, why don't you just check out my YouTube channel," instead of asking me what I'm doing, you know, because that literally what happened. I would just sit there and people were like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm making beats." Don't you see, you know, instead of me like feel like a jerk, I would just, you know, tell people, "Hey, if you want to see what I'm doing or listen to what I'm doing, you can check out my YouTube channel." So made a YouTube channel, start doing, you know, I was influenced by a few different people that do YouTube channels, like for beat making, and bought a GoPro session and bought some accessories, and, you know, just it's very affordable to start. You know, I have a MacBook Pro from 2010 and has some software for me to edit videos, and I started off using, you know, iMovie. Some people start off using their phone, which is great. You don't have to have a whole bunch of expensive equipment to vlog. But yeah, I just started off with a GoPro session, which is like a really nice camera for like less than $200, or I think now it's less than that now. And then just was making like drumming, like finger drumming videos for my beat machine. And eventually, I just started to make more music. I actually did a 30-day beat challenge for myself because I wanted to be more consistent or kind of figure out what my sound was. And when I did the 30-day beat challenge, I started to realize I would make beats every single day, and then I wanted to upload to SoundCloud and then share people my journey of how I made a beat or how I would go to the record store, because eventually I started to notice I really like vinyl records and searching for different sounds and not knowing what a sound sounds like until you get home and play it and then changing it. And then that's, I kind of discovered J Dilla at the same time. Cause I didn't really know, I knew, just like I think most people know who J Dilla is as far as his music, if you listen to it, but they don't know who he is, and, you know, unless you show him, like, this is the song he made. Because he's done a lot of music that people recognize, but they don't know that it's J Dilla. So when I learned that who J Dilla was and how much of an influence he's been in the music industry and how he actually produces music, it kind of changed my perspective of making music. And then I kind of share that journey with people, and and it became like a niche. Like there was an audience of people that love the same thing I do. They love beat making. They love, you know, creating things out of nothing. And then I just, you know, I don't like to do what most YouTubers do. They sometimes just make beats all day. Sometimes I like to make a vlog of me going to the vinyl store, actually getting vinyl, or like a vlog of me doing doing my first show, or doing, you know, a vlog with my family. So you just kind of get to know me, because the channel is called Sarah Too Ill. It's about me. It's not like beatmaking channel youtube.com. It's about me and my journey. So it's specifically just kind of just documenting, you know, what I'm doing. Just like I said, people come up to me and ask me, "What are you doing?" This is what I'm doing this week. So it's nice to kind of document my journey, and I'm kind of surprised at myself of how much I've grown, especially in a short period of time. Like I have visions and I have ideas, and I make them come to light, and it's really dope, and it's really cool to hear other people share that I've influenced them, inspired them. People from all around the world. There's people that, you know, that are sick, and they tell me that they're in the hospital and that they're listening to my music, and that, you know, it's just that they watch my videos and they're so happy that my videos pop up. So it's just like keeps me going and excited and inspired to continue to do what I'm doing. But I've barely just scratched the surface. So that's just, you know, how I started YouTube.
And how long ago was it when you started the Sarah Too Ill channel?
I would say it would be probably 2 years coming up in August, probably, or September.
Okay.
So, about 2 years almost.
Okay. So I checked, and you're like just over, I think, 7,000 subscribers on your channel right now?
Yes.
How have you been going about growing the channel?
Well, multiple ways. I learned a lot from a lot of other people. Like I said, I had a coworker that had left our current job to do YouTube full time, so I got a lot of advice from her as far as just not just necessarily just from her, but just watching other YouTubers too, mm-hmm. and just understanding the you can't just post things and expect people to watch it. You actually have to understand how you can bring value to your mm-hmm. channel. So, you know, I did go to business school, and a lot of things for me, I think, probably come a little bit more easier than most because I did go to school for business, and I understand marketing probably more than the average person. So I understand you can't just ask people to do something. You have to give something to people in order for them to maybe get your attention. So I do certain things, like, for an example, I do Beat of the Week. So Beat of the Week is when I invite any beat maker to submit their videos from Instagram for mm-hmm. For just any video that they want of them making a beat or performing a beat, and I post that video at the end of every one of my videos. And it doesn't matter who you are. I don't care, you know, how many people are following you. I don't care. Like, if your beat's great, like, I'm going to showcase it on my channel. So if you have 50 followers on Instagram and I have 7,000 international people on my YouTube channel and I put your video on my channel, that brings that person value. They want to watch my show. They want to see if they got onto the Beat of the Week. It, you know, they support the channel because they know that I'm not just, you know, I'm not, some people pay to post their videos on their stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, there's Instagram pages that make you pay $35 just to post a video.
Wow.
You know? So, for me to just kind of just do it for free, it should be free anyways. Like, we should be able to help others out. So, just being able to get other producers to be involved with my channel, like, that brings value to my channel because people, like I said, they want to see if their video got posted at the end of my video. And then that gets a new audience for them to be seen. You know, right. That's just one way of building my audience is people, like, they know I care about them and, like, that their music, it's not just about me. It's just also about the culture. Like, it's really about the culture. So that's one thing. It's just and then just kind of being honest about, like, my experience. Like, there was a point when I first started and I was telling people about what things I wanted, and then eventually you could see me and other brands support me and they give those things to me. And it's kind of crazy how people can just be a part of that journey with me. And then I also do, like, honest reviews of products that people may not have or have the ability to get their hands on. So that brings kind of like a value to the channel. And then being able to kind of just be fun and just honest. And I don't think there's a lot of female producers out there making a lot of beats. There's not a lot of female producers, period. And this, you don't really get to see an image or a face to a lot of what's going on and behind the scenes. So I think what I do is very unique. I don't really see a lot of people doing what I'm doing. I do see a lot of beat makers, of course, that I don't think there's a lot of beat makers that are consistently interacting with their audience. You know, I created a brand, like an actual beat making brand, because because I'm a beat maker, when I go shopping for clothes, when I go to, like, you know, Urban Outfitters, I would love to have a t-shirt with a beat machine on it, but they don't sell that stuff. That stuff doesn't exist. So when I thought about that, I thought, you know what, why don't I create that, you know? So that's what I did. And then, you know, I have all these supporters that people are like, of course, I would love to buy this SP404 on a t-shirt because that's all I do is eat and breathe beat making. So, like, it's just, you know, being knee deep in understanding the culture and the brand and, like, just the niche of, like, beat makers and, like, boom bat and hip hop, like, being in it every single day, I think that brings value. People do see that I have a passion for it. So I think that's what brings people to the channel. Like I said, I learned a lot from a lot of other people, like just how to leverage my audience to gain more audience members, like just reaching out to brands. And then, you know, when you collaborate with other brands or other people, that's their audience coming over to my audience. So just doing a lot of collaborations, with different brands. I hope to do a lot of other collaborations with other people when I get. I plan to move to California, and I have plans to collaborate with other people. So that'll be a better more opportunity to bring, you know, different set of audience members in. You know, just a lot of different ways. There's so many ways to just market and just bring value to the channel. Like I do plan on, like I just my brand just launched and hope to get 1,000 followers on my Instagram page, and then once that reaches that point, I'll randomly DM someone and you know, give away some merchandise. So just being a part of, you know, giving value, like, hey, I'm just not just asking you to do something. I'm going to probably give something away for you, or, you know, I always provide good content. So the music I produce, I think that it sounds great, and I hope that other people will enjoy it as well. So at the end of the day, it's really always about the music, and that's the most important thing. Like, when I was making my beat tape, that's all that mattered to me. Like, I didn't really care about anything else. I was like, I need to get this beat tape finished, and then everything else, that's, I'll worry about that right afterwards. So,
okay. Yeah, and I want to talk about your beat tape and the No Quantize brand as well, as we get toward the end. But there's something you said just a few minutes ago I want to touch on a little bit. So if I remember correctly, you were saying that you've been getting brand sponsorships and collaborations. Is this like they're sending you gear, or how does that factor into the things you got going on?
Yeah, so my coworker, like I said, she put me onto a lot of that stuff, and I kind of slept on it for a while because I didn't think that I would be able to get what or the recognition that I would get from brands, because she had left our job, and she has, like, well over 100, you know, something thousand subscribers, like, really doing very well in YouTube. And she had mentioned, she's like, hey, could you send me some beats for my channel? I said, you know, of course. And I didn't know she had a YouTube channel. We would work for 4 years, and I didn't know she had this big of a YouTube channel, and she kind of kept it, like, on the hush. And then she was just like, hey, send me some beats for your channel. And I was like, sure, what's your channel? And then I found out she had, like, she was doing these reviews for these brands, and then she had mentioned, she's like, yeah, this company sent me a free washer and dryer. I'm like, excuse me? They sent you a free washer and dryer? You keep it? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, this is what I did. I was just like, excuse me? How do I do that? How do I get brands to send me free washer and dryer? You know, so she just kind of put me on to, just being able to do introductions to brands, reaching out to certain team members, and just kind of just letting them know what I do, what I can bring for them, as far as just providing an honest review, and maybe then they being able to collaborate by bringing in a sample, or being able to to bring in a promotion or some type of giveaway for my audience, because these brands they actually need affiliates. They're affiliates all over Instagram, YouTube, you know, everyday people, but they're not really everyday people. They're just people that actually have an audience, and these brands will send these affiliates, their items, or pay them to post, you know, anything. So when I learned about that, I didn't really think I could do it, because at the time I probably had like 2,000 subscribers. Mm-hmm. And I really slept on it, and then there's a day that I was like, you know what, let me hit up this one brand for this really small thing and see what they say. And then actually, you know, they actually came through, they sent something, they supported. And then I kept, you know, following up with brands that I really enjoy and just asked them if they would be supportive. And a lot of companies reached back out and said they would. So I did get a lot of support from brands like Moog and Native Instruments and Critter and Guitari, Teenage Engineering, a lot of different like accessory brands, and like DJ Tech Tools and Array, a lot of, you know, brands that they are definitely supportive of the culture and just supporting artists. And then that was kind of like the first level, just me being able to reach out to brands. And then eventually I think because I'm doing a lot of work with brands, other brands start to notice. So they'll start to reach out to me, and start asking me to help support them. And that is really where the money starts to come in if other brands start reaching out to me, because they'll want to actually sponsor me, and that's when I can actually start asking or give them or ask for a quote or ask them about their budget or figure out some type of deal. So it's really nice when you start to build on your brand or collaborate with others. Others start to notice as well, and if people reach out to you, then you have an audience, and you can leverage that and collaborate, you know, make it fun. And like I said, I don't do anything that I don't like. I really enjoy every single thing that has been given to me, because I've asked for things that I enjoy. And, you know, not every brand responds. Not every brand actually will, you know, help me out. Some will actually tell me to pay for things. I'm just like, that's not a good experience, but never mind. So it's just, you know, it just depends. So I just, you know, I've learned a lot from others, and I'm at a point where I'm hoping to get more sponsorships and more affiliate deals down the line, so I can be more independent and be just like my coworker and just do this full time, because it is a lot of great income on the internet as far as just content creation and, you know, music, of course, but there's a lot of money to be made in the marketing and affiliate and content creation era or in that realm. So
nice. So sounds like from your response, a couple of key things to, you know, navigate in the sponsorship world is, one, just being authentic, you know, reaching out to people, you know, who are in line with your brand. Another thing is knowing what you have to offer and being able to articulate that, you know, because like you said, you have an audience, you know what type of community you're building, you know the things that they're into and what they would likely, you know, be willing to jump on. And so you can do these deals that make sense, not only for you and your situation financially, but also for your audience. Because, I don't know, you know, you're watching YouTube for a little while, and it's like every other video is sponsored by Squarespace. And it's like, okay, well, everyone's website isn't made by Squarespace. All right. So I think authenticity is important. But a lot of it is also just like you said, getting over the nerves, not being afraid to ask for what you want and put it out there. And I think it's cool because, I mean, I feel like I remember that first sponsorship post where it was kind of like, was it the pocket thing, the little calculator looking thing?
Yeah, it was the Teenage Engineering pocket operator.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, you start out small, but, you know, once you get that first yes, you know, then that really kind of puts a battery in your back. And it's like, all right, let's go for more.
Right. Because the worst thing they can say is no.
Right. So you guys don't be afraid to ask for what you want. But again, you have to be able to communicate what your value is. It's not just, oh, can I get a free thing? Like, you have to offer value to these companies.
You need to tell them who you are, you know, how many followers or how big your audience is, and what you are able to offer to them, because you don't want to just have, like for me, before I started just asking other brands, like I had built my own audience. I had created my own content and, you know, kind of just had a kind of my channels. It grew to a beat making channel. So then I can bring that to brands and say, hey, this is what I've been doing. It would be awesome if you could, you know, help us out. And that's when it starts to grow. So you have to definitely build something. You can't just, you know, knock on the door and ask if you don't, you know, a lot of people want to collaborate with me. And my biggest thing is I like to follow up with, you know, show me what you're doing, because you know what I'm doing. You know, follow up with, you know, what can you offer me? Because a lot of people aren't ready to work with me when they think they want to work with me. They say they want to collaborate, but they've never made a beat before, or they don't even know anything about anything. So how could you help me? Just like if you were reaching out to a brand, you want to make sure that you kind of share, this is what I'm doing, this is how we're growing. I would love for you to be a part of that journey. So,
wow. Well, that's cool. Well, thank you for that advice. So I want to talk about conversations. How did it come about? And how do you see it going, now that it's out?
Well, Conversations initially was going to be a beat tape called Oak City. It was just going to be my first official beat tape that was going to be out everywhere. And it was just going to be a random set of beats. I look up to Jay Dilla. He does these albums that are like 24 beats per album, but they're like an hour long or less than an hour as far as just how long the album is. Same for like Knife Wonder. He recently did like 40 something beats on this last album, and it lasted less than an hour. So I just wanted to have a collection of short beats that kind of just resonate with you, where you know you have to repeat it, like you have to redo it. But something kind of happened to me like 7 months ago, where I kind of had a lot of personal changes in my life, where for like 7 years of my life, I was very sick, and I've had like a lot of stomach issues, and I actually had like this epiphany this kind of like awakening moment where I woke up from all the BS that's going on around me, including like it started off with the food industry, like learning how all the food that I was eating was causing me to be sick, like the antibiotics and chickens were in my system, and when I would get sick, like if I got sick and go to the doctor, and they gave me antibiotics, I would actually have an even worse reaction. Wow. And I didn't know why I was sick. My doctors wouldn't tell me, and then I actually found out a bunch of BS about the industry. And so it started off with the food industry, then it actually started off with learning that most African Americans are actually Native American, and actually then going down another rabbit hole of learning about like chemtrails and like the environment, and like freaking learning that I don't know that a lot of conspiracy theories that people are that I can't talk about with other people. So the beat tape, basically, I noticed that when I would kind of have these conversations with people, like if I was to have a conversation with you and we would talk about how I haven't seen water curve, or I don't see the curvature of the earth, people would walk away sometimes, or they would just like blow it off, or just say, oh, you think the earth is flat, or you think, oh, how could you think the earth is not curved? And then they would just walk away. So when I had these conversations with people, I felt like I couldn't have these conversations with people. So I made this beat tape of titles of things that spark my interest that I feel like I can't talk to people about. And they're all different topics, like Neil Armstrong. If you think about it, all these beats have nothing to do with the titles, but the titles have something to do with something that's going on right in front of you right now. Neil Armstrong, for an example, we all know he's an astronaut, but I always heard people say, "Oh, the man on the moon or going to the moon was fake," and there was a point where I was just like, "Why would people say that?"
Right.
You know, like, let me look into this. Let me do my research. So when I actually found, like, some ish out, like, it was some crazy stuff. I was like, oh, my gosh, why doesn't anyone know this? Like, so, and it goes down to, like, Neil Armstrong. Like, why doesn't he have interviews after going to the moon? If I went to the moon, I'd be on cloud 10, be like, hey, I went to the moon. I want to be at every, like, inauguration, every freaking interview, every, like, bring your dad to school work day and talk about how I walked on the moon. But stuff like that, like people are like, they don't talk about how this one guy never talks about how proud he was about how he went to the moon, because I don't know. There's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot of deep stuff. So Conversations is about different topics of things I wish I could speak to people about. Some people I can't speak to about. Some people are just like, what's going on? But it's a lot of deep, deep stuff. So I just kind of made a beat tape where there's no words, no one's talking, but each title that pops up on your iPhone or while you're driving, it says chemtrails, and you're like, what the hell is chemtrails? Let me Google it, and then that starts conversations. So right. The beat tape is meant to start conversations. It's meant to, it's not, I don't know the answer to everything. I truly don't, but it just kind of it kind of sparks conversations. So when I created the beat tape, I kind of also had this idea of creating a brand. So I kind of wanted to do everything at the same time, and my birthday was coming up, so I decided to launch the beat tape. And No Quantize, which is the name of my brand, which is the beat making brand, focused on beat making gear on t-shirts and hoodies and merchandise, essentially. And I'll be selling other things down the line. But yeah, I wanted to launch this beat tape on Apple Music and Spotify and Bandcamp. Launch this brand on my birthday, kind of just to, like, give a gift to myself, because, you know, a lot of people do, you know, they celebrate traditional birthdays, you know, by going out and stuff or going on vacation. But I wanted to gift myself with music, because at the end of the day, I make music for myself. I don't make music for other people. I don't try to make things for, like, how do people think about this song, or, you know, will people listen to it? I made this beat tape for myself because, like I said, I kind of went through this awakening period, and I wanted to kind of express myself, being able to kind of share, like, this is what's going on in my head, and my, you know, you can watch my YouTube channel and see my journey, but you have no idea that I'm going through these, like, awakening moments on a personal level. Like, I don't talk about this on my YouTube channel. Like, I couldn't talk about this on my YouTube channel because people would be like, what? So I put it in the beat tape. I put it in the titles, and, you know, like I said, it starts conversations, and then I wanted to create the brand, so I launched everything all at the same time. So it was an amazing birthday gift for myself. So
nice.
It was pretty cool.
And so how has the response been, both to the beat tape and to the brand?
Everything's been amazing, man. Like, everyone's been super supportive. I think that's all I really have to say. It's nothing but positivity, and a lot of people just down with the brand. A lot of people giving a lot of great feedback about the beat tape, loving the concept, understanding, you know, the concept, and, you know, I haven't gotten any badness about anything or any negativity about anything. So everything's been amazing.
That's what's up. Well, like she said, Conversations, the beat tape, is available everywhere you stream music. Apple Music, Spotify. Is it on SoundCloud?
It is. It's on SoundCloud.
Nice. So it's on Bandcamp. It's literally everywhere. So if you haven't heard it, go ahead and search it up after you're done listening to this podcast. So what's next for you? What's the future looking like for Sarah?
Well, I'm working on some sound packs so I could be able to provide producers some of my sounds. At a very, very affordable price. I actually in the middle of collaborating with a new company. It's called Melodix. I'll be able to help other people learn how to finger drum or make beats, because this program, the software Melodix, allows artists to just learn how to play the piano or the drums or the finger drum. So I'm collaborating with them on just being able to have some lessons on their website to help people learn how to make or learn how to do finger drumming and make beats. So that's really cool and exciting thing that I'm working on right now. I just finished up a live set downtown Raleigh today, actually showcasing all the beats for conversations. I'll be posting that up this week. But as far as just the future, I hope to do more shows. I really do hope something exciting happens later on this summer. I have no idea if it's going to happen, but if it does, everyone will know. And if it does, it'll change everything. but right now, I'm just, you know, the next thing for me is just creating my next set of clothing for No Quantize, because I do plan on launching a summer set of clothing with new beat machines on t-shirts and such, and then also plan on eventually doing more projects with I may do some more sample-based projects, but I definitely do plan on doing more instrumentals with no samples, with just instruments. I do plan on collaborating with more artists and different brands, and my biggest goal right now is to move to California and to be close to the beach. So that's the biggest goal right now for me.
Nice, nice. So you just have something against North Carolina beaches? You're not that far.
Well, I went yesterday. I love North Carolina beaches. You know, it's great. It's just, I'm not, there's no music scene. There's not really much out here as far as just like the beach. If I want the beach and, yeah, I wish Raleigh was by the beach, but, North Carolina is, it's home. It's a great place to have a family and retire, but I'm not in that stage of my life. I want to travel, California, somewhere I've always wanted to live, and if I can get that out of my system, I'll be all good.
Nice, nice. Well, I wish you the best of luck, and I hope it happens for you very soon.
Thank you.
So just one more time before we wrap up, tell the people where they can find you, your YouTube channel, shout out everything.
Absolutely. You guys can first find me at noquantize.com. It's basically got everything, my videos, but you can find me at youtube.com/Sarah2Ill. On Instagram and Twitter at Sarah2Ill, and at noquantize.com, or you can follow noquantize on Instagram as well. And I think that's pretty much it. Conversations is out everywhere, Apple Music, Spotify, Bandcamp, SoundCloud, Tidal, and that's about it.
Nice, nice. Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for being on the show. You provided great insights, and I think the artists who are listening will definitely be able to take some of the things that you gave them and run with it. So thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and for taking the time to speak with us all. All right, guys. So that's it for our interview with Sarah, the instrumentalist. Now, she gave us so many tips, so many strategies about how to grow your audience with YouTube, some amazing gems in there about branding yourself and knowing, you know, how to serve a community so that you can communicate your value to corporations. So if any of you guys are interested in building a brand and, you know, getting brand sponsorships, try out some of these practices. Do some of the things that she's talking about. I'd love to see what your results are. So I want to stay connected with you guys. So if you're listening to this and you're not currently in the Indie Club, which is our private Facebook community filled with artists, managers, and all sorts of other industry professionals, go ahead and join. You can join at kdmr.us/indieclub, but I'll leave the link in the description below. Go ahead and subscribe to the show if you're not already. You can follow us on YouTube, on Instagram, Facebook, everywhere at KDMR Music. And until next week, keep dreaming and do some work and make those dreams reality. I'll see you soon. Peace.